and too difficult. He was someone that we loved, and actually somebody who was actually pretty lovable, I think. So, yeah, we're here today to remember that. We're also going to remember that God is still God, that he knows what he's doing, even when it doesn't look like it to us, and that it really doesn't even matter what it looks like to us, because God is sovereign, and he will bring home his saints when he chooses to do that. So I just want to read these words, and I'm going to lead you in this service from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever.
Amen.
You say amen to that?
Amen.
Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, he says. And it's weird, you know, when I came upon all the commotion on that Tuesday morning when all the police were there and the fire department and the ambulances were there. And I just had this, you know, after I found out that it was Fabian and that Fabian had died, I just had this sense from God that, you know, that in the last moments of his life, I just had this sort of this picture that in the last moments of his life, God was saying to Fabian, I'm with you, don't worry. And I know what Fabian was thinking. He was thinking, I can't go. I've got these kids. I got these kids. I got to take care of these kids. And I just know that God said to him, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm with you. And it's going to be all right. And I will take care of these kids. You can let go now. You can let go now. You can come home. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. It's a little different version. And I know that Fabe would want us to celebrate today and not just mourn and cry all the time. So slap my face a little bit here. We did Amazing Grace. Would you sing this with me?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. 'Twas grace. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
My chains
are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love,
my Lord God,
amazing grace.
Sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love,
my Lord God,
amazing grace. Unending love,
my Lord God,
amazing grace. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to thee, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to thee, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
God, we thank You today that we can join and remember a good friend, and that we have You. We don't know where we would be without You, and You are our help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we just lean real heavy on You right now. We need You to pick us up and to carry us. And God, as much as we can't make sense of this, we trust You. We pray for Fabian's family. We pray for his children. We think especially of those three little ones, God. And we just pray for Your mercy. We pray, God, that You will be their defender, God, that they're going to grow up to know You and love You, even apart from having their dad. Lord, we just ask You to, by Your Holy Spirit, give us that comforting ointment today. Just pour it all over us, Lord, the ointment of Your Spirit. You say in Your word that You are God of all comfort. We trust You for that. So we need You today. We cry out to You. I thank You, Lord, that we can join together. And I pray that we will laugh and cry, and we will celebrate the friend and the person that Fabian was for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do one more song. Maybe we can just all stand for this one.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. And when I think that God is Son, not dead, sent here to die, I scarce can take it in, that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Yes, Lord, thank you, God.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come,
when Christ shall come, with shouts of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
One more time. Then sings my soul,
then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
You may be seated. Aren't those pictures something? Well, just once again, I want to welcome you. I'm glad that you came. I know that family's glad that you showed your support by just coming together on a hard day like today and We remember Fabian. We remember that, I guess most importantly, he belonged to God and he knew who God was. And I want to say a few words about that. And later on, there'll be an open mic. And if you feel like you got a quick story or just something you want to say, there's going to be that opportunity. But I get to go first. So, yeah. I think Fabian would say, wow, look at all the people. And it shows that he touched a lot of our lives, probably more than he ever knew. He was someone I knew for, 10 years or longer, and I had a relationship with him like a friend in a lot of ways. Sometimes I felt like it was his dad, and I didn't ever feel old enough to be his dad. But he wanted some advice sometimes, or more than anything, you know, prayer, or just wanted to chat. And he was a guy that, to me at least, was endearing. He was easy to love. There are other people who didn't feel that way. He had that kind of a way with people. You either loved him or you didn't like him. But I loved him, and he was my friend. He worked for me off and on for a number of years, and we had lots of conversations. And then just, you know, been thinking about him a lot in the last week or so and thinking of the story. I just want to read part of the story, you know, about friendship. How important friendship is in this life. If you have friends, you're blessed. And this is a story about Jonathan and David. And they were really good friends. And Jonathan's father was Saul, who was the king. And they're at this point in the story where they don't know if they can still be friends. They don't know if they're going to remain friends because there's a real threat on David's life because the king wants David dead. And so they're meeting together by a rock, and there's been a test of these arrows that are flying. I won't get into all that stuff, but it's just a test of whether the king is really going to take David's life or not. And this is what happens after that. We're told that David got up from the south side of the stone, and he bowed down before Jonathan there three times. With his face to the ground, he bowed down, and then they kissed each other, and they wept together. But David wept the most. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord." I'm going to just read that one more time. "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me. He's a witness between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" And David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. There's a song on the radio that's playing a lot these days, and I actually played this song in church maybe 6 weeks ago, and I wish I could say that Fabian was here to hear it. I don't know. I don't remember everyone who's always in church. He was here often. He may have heard it, and the words of the song go like this: "I have won, I have lost. I got it right sometimes, and sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret, and oh, you have been my God through all of it." In my heart, that's a song that reflects my friend Fabian. He got it right sometimes, and sometimes he didn't get it right. And he's seen joy, and he's seen regret. But through it all, he knew who his God was. I want to just say a few words about Fabian today, and one of the first things that comes to mind for me when I think of Fabian is that he was a good friend. He's probably a good friend to a lot of us who are here today. He was faithful. And one thing about this guy is if he had your back, he had your back. You could count on it. If he didn't have your back, that's a whole other sermon, and we'll save that for another occasion. But if he had your back, and if he loved you, and if he thought you were honest, and if he thought you cared, and really that was a big thing, if he thought you loved him, you had a pit bull, and I mean in the good sense here. You had a pit bull who cared and who had compassion and who would defend you. He defended me. He defended me even when I didn't deserve it. He was loyal, and he was a really good friend. He was faithful. He didn't throw rocks. Not to those who loved him, at least. Second thing is that he was a fighter. You guys can nod your heads. You know this is true, you know. Man alive, I don't know anybody who fought more than Fabian. He was a fighter. And a lot of his life he fought with these. And it got him into trouble. And, you know, I have no illusions here of telling stories or of being deceptive or being dishonest. We're going to tell the truth today. And not every part of Fabian's story is a perfect, pretty story. By the way, not every part of your story is either. He was a fighter, and he used his fists, and those fists got him into trouble, and they made him a number of enemies. And sometimes it even ended up putting him in jail because it was how he reacted. It left him hurt sometimes, and it left him unpopular sometimes. I know that I can think about a year ago. There was one time when I got in between Fabian and another guy who both had their fists like this, and we were both screaming at each other. And here's me going, hold on, guys, you know, hold on, guys. And I'm screaming back. I got to tell you something, that's not a very comfortable place to be. He had a battle with authorities. He sometimes had the battle with police, with the child and family welfare system. He had a battle with all kinds of things, and I think it's fair to say that being a fighter was his worst trait. But it's also fair to say that being a fighter was his best trait. He had a passion, and he was a fighter, but it was his best trait too. He fought for what he thought was right. And it's one of the things I really respected about him. He fought. He fought hard. He was always all in. And he fought for whatever he thought was right. He fought for justice. He fought against unfairness. And there's probably nothing that Fabian fought for more than his children, right? He was someone who had in my opinion, he had an unusual love for his kids. And he really wanted, you know, the one thing that he would say over and over again, the one thing that he really wanted more than anything else is he just wanted to be a good dad. He wanted to be a good father. He always regretted not being able to raise his older daughters. And I think he tried to make up for that by investing himself completely and wholeheartedly in the three younger ones, Max and Belle and Ethan. I don't know about you, but it always touched my heart every time, you know, you see Fabian driving downtown or riding on his bike. I mean, you tell me who else does this. And he's got Max behind him in a seat, and then he's got a carriage behind that with the twins, and he's just trucking from one place to the other, and when the diaper needs to be changed, he pulls over at the side of the road, and he changes the diaper, and he just did everything he needed to do. And he would, no doubt he'd say that the one thing that he cared about more than anything was those kids of his. His children were defended by him. And there's some of you here today, Lauren, you're one of them, that you helped him. You were helping him be a good defender. You stood by him, and you were a good friend. And that was his role in life. That's what he wanted to do. He took care of those kids. He fed them well. He watched over them. He prayed for them. I was there last Saturday, or the Saturday before he died, I guess 3 days before he died, and I met with Fabian, and Max came out of the house, and Fabian turned around, and he said, Max, you go back in. Max turned on his heel, and he went back in. He was obedient. He is obedient. He was disciplined, because Fabian invested himself into him. He was a good father. But even more than that, I guess I'd want to tell you today that I believe that he was also a man of great faith. Fabian believed in God. He never didn't believe in God, I don't think. He had a rocky relationship with God, I would say. But then he had a rocky relationship with most of us. But he knew who God was, and he wanted God in his life, and he had God in his life, you know. He would say, I love Jesus. More than anything, what he'd say is, pray for me. I don't know how many phone calls I got from him. And we used to talk every Tuesday night when he was in prison. He'd call me on Tuesday nights because my wife was in Bible study. He knew that would be a good time. And we would just chat. We would just talk. And then it was always, okay, well, pray before you go. Pray, you know. He'd never let go of the phone without me praying for him. You got to call on the big guy. Pray. He would say, pray, boy. He'd call me. I think he was saying boy. I didn't know if it was bye or boy half the time. Pray, bye, you know. And so I'd pray, and it was always, you know, he needed those prayers. There were times not even that long ago that he'd say, someone was coming over, or someone's checking me out and doing this, or I got this meeting, and I'm never going to be able to make it through this. They're gonna, and I would say, Fabian, why? Why wouldn't you? You're going to make it. You're doing good, man. You're doing so good. He said, well, pray. Would you just pray, please? And I prayed. And the funny thing about Fabian is when you were done praying, or when I'm done praying, and I say amen, to him that meant goodbye. So it was amen, and the phone would be down. And I can't tell you how many times I was left with the phone in my ear going, hello? You still there? You know, he'd just say, okay, bye. And I didn't know if he's saying bye or boy. Okay, boy, you know. He wanted the prayers. He was abrupt. I think that I was thinking about him. That's a word I would use to describe him. He was abrupt. When he worked for me, and you'd say, okay, would you go and, you know, put some drywall over there? It was like he turned on his heel and he marched over there. It wasn't like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna have a cigarette first and then I'll go. No, he was abrupt. When he said goodbye, it was bam, it's done. He lived with that kind of abruptness in his life, and he died abruptly too. And I don't get that. I don't understand it. I don't know. The Bible says, you know, that his ways are not our ways. I don't understand always the mind of God, but I do believe this. I believe that my friend is now with Jesus because he was a man of faith. I baptized him twice, I think. It might have been more than twice, just because he needed it. He said, I got to get in the river. He said, is it okay if I get in the river again? And I say, of course. If you need it, I'm here. You know, I'm not going to say no to you. He was a man who loved God, and he was also a man, you know, his life was not easy. There was a lot of brokenness. There was a lot of stress, the way I saw him. He had a lot of stress. And I believe that God has brought him to a place now where there is no more stress, and there's no more tears, there's no more threats, there's no more of all that pressure, there's no more risk of doing drugs, because God just brought him home. And I don't understand it, because in my, again, this is my opinion, but from what I was seeing of Fabian was I've never seen him do as well as he had been doing the last 6 months or a year. He was clean. He was working when he could. He was taking care of the kids. He was happier. He was exactly in the element that he wanted to be. He died with an abruptness. In a way, I think God just snatched him out of this life and said, it's time. Come home. Your hard work and your hard labor is over. So Fabian, go in peace. For we have a sworn friendship with each other. In the name of the Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, we need to be encouraged today, and I thank you that you have allowed us to share our lives with this man, and that he has had a great influence, and that he's contributed, and that we've been able to journey. Life's a journey, and there's been some things we've got right, and there's been some things we didn't, but I thank you that we get to journey together, even through the hard things, and sometimes that journey has steep hills, and sometimes it has deep valleys. But that true friends do that journey together in the power that you give us and in the strength that you give us, Lord God. And I thank you that we're here today to remember a man who had a conflicted life and a hard life, but a man who loved us and a man who loved you. And we have great comfort in knowing that he rests with you today. And so today, Jesus, as the good shepherd, we just pray that you'll wrap your big arms around us, because we're the ones who need you now, and that you will give us comfort and your grace. I just pray for extra measure of your grace today. In the name of our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. That I just, you know, he was a character, right? I mean, he was a character. There's got to be a lot of stories, and by doing that, we get to encourage each other, and that's really the goal. That's what we want to do. Is it's okay to cry, and it's okay to tell the truth, because we should always tell the truth, and it's okay to laugh. Just remembering him. Who has a story, or who can remember something they want to share today? Here we go.
Well, when I first met Fabian, was here. And then when I got to really know him and I was working at the Solid Ground Cafe, because they were building the restaurant next door, they had the part in that. Every morning he would come in. Every morning he would come into the restaurant and he would have something. He'd say, pray for me. So so I'm going through this today, he says. And I say, okay, more details so I know how to answer to God for you. Well, today he said, I'm going through one tough battle, he said. He said, some people, he says, at one point, made up some lies about me, and they came in and took Maddox. And now I don't have him, so he said, hold me up in prayer, because I'm battling that. So I heard a lot of his battles and struggles that he was going through, and I also lifted him up in prayer and everything. And this, 3 weeks before, or 2.5 weeks before his passing, he phones me up, and he says, I need a babysitter. He said, will you be willing to babysit for me? And I said, sure. He said, because I'm working at the courthouse, but it'd be evenings, he said, because I clean. I said, no problem. Whenever you're ready, I said, I'll do it for you. He said, I trust you with my kids. You're the only person I know of that I can trust with their kids. And I thought, wow, somebody to trust me with their kids and tell me they trust me. Yeah, so I never got to babysit for him. So those are the memories I have of him.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Terry. Yeah, Lauren.
I was Fabian's lawyer for years, and if I start getting upset, people may think, how can a lawyer not talk in public? Fabian and I were really close. I don't know how long ago I started acting for Fabian. Years, it seems like I've been acting for him all my life. So I'm going to give a bit longer thing about stories about Fabian because he touched me deeply. Years and years ago when he was fighting for his four children. Fabian had twins. It's just amazing how many twins this man produced. It's rather incredible. But he had two sets of twins that were taken away by child welfare years ago. Two of them, the older girls, Cheyenne and Shelby, they've been living on the street. And Fabian, these girls were age-appropriate in school. They were healthy, well looked after, and he's living on the street. At times he was living, I don't know if you know St. Luke's Church, but they have an old building that's attached to it. And Fabian, they have a little back room that's barely called a room, but he was sleeping there with the kids, just living on the street with them, and he looked after them so well. And this was the time, I'm going to ramble a bit here, but Fabian had a hard life, and having walked beside him for so much of his life, I know quite a bit about it, a lot of things that I can't say. But he had a hard life, and at the time that his darkest period, he had Hep C and was treated with interferon. And this drug really messes up people's minds, especially, and Fabian had a lot of stress in his life. And our medical profession and the child welfare and all the people up there don't, because interferon's a good drug, they make lots of money on it or whatever, and they don't want to recognize what it does to people, it can do to people. And his darkest period that Fabian had, in my belief, was as a result of interferon. And the pain that he suffered from that, he, of course, Fabian self-medicated, like we all do. I think we all medicate some way, whether you drink coffee, drink alcohol, or whatever we do, we all self-medicate. And Fabian would self-medicate and get himself into more trouble. But even despite everything he went through, these kids are so well looked after. And I remember when we first started, we prayed. Time when we wanted to pray, we prayed together. And maybe that was my mistake because we got joined by the hip from then on. But I was so touched by how hard he fought for these kids that, and something happened between us. I'm not too sure what it is. I never could. I said, Fabian, I don't understand why I like you so much. Because we went through a lot of things, but I love the man, and I think he loved me. And at that point, I stopped charging him because he was my friend. And from then on, I just represented Fabian all the way through. Fabian's biggest, he said Fabian was a fighter. The difficulty with Fabian for me is that Fabian always won the fights, most of the time, always won. And we have a thing, this, one of our laws is if you win the fight, you're the bad guy. If you lose the fight, no matter what, you're the good guy. And I never could quite understand that from where I come from. You start a fight, you got to take your licking. But that's not the way it is. Fabian had a tough time. We had our fights. We went toe-to-toe together many times. I think one point Fabian told everyone, the remand said, I think the thing was cut my arms off or something. And when I challenged Fabian on that, he said, no, I wouldn't say a thing like that. And I laughed at him. And I knew that Fabian never would do a thing like that. But Fabian was Cape Breton. And I know that if you're from Cape Breton, you got to tell a great story, right? There's no way you can tell a story straight. You got to tell a great story. So Fabian and I were tight all the way through. And this last go-around, and I think the main point of what Fabian's done in his life is that through this journey that Fabian and I had together at the courthouse, he started off sort of being the worst of the worst, that the court, the judges, had no regard. They just hated Fabian. Child welfare. I won't tell you about my opinion of child welfare, but Fabian and I had read Edom on that. They hated Fabian. And Fabian gave him good reason to hate them because the antics he went up with. But in the end, in the time of the last year and a half, Fabian worked so hard to straighten out his life. You know, through all the tough times, he never stopped believing. And, you know, I've always, sometimes, like many of us, get a little arrogant about our own faith. But whenever I was around Fabian, I was ashamed and humbled by my lack of faith compared to his. I don't know how he kept it, you know, all the things that happened to him. In the last year of representing Fabian, the courts started to treat him decently. Child welfare even started to treat him decently. And the point is, what Fabian taught a lot of people is that there's no throwaway people in this world. Because Fabian started off as a throwaway person, person that nobody cared about. There's the death penalty. There's a few judges that would give it to him. He was a throwaway person. In the end, judges were bending over backwards to help him. I was getting things in court that I could never thought I could ever get for Fabian. In fact, some judges, when I wanted to run from, I thought he was going to give us a break. Why did I run? But just habit. But Fabian taught people in that courthouse that people can change no matter how you know, the addiction problems they've had or whatever. And for all of us, we can change. With the power of Jesus Christ, we can change. And Fabian, through that power, the power of Jesus Christ, was able to change from, like, that change is a miracle. Not humanly possible without the power of Jesus. And people realize, and his faith was there for everybody to see, so people would know why he changed. So in the last 2 weeks ago, I took Fabian. It's rather amazing because I've been trying to get Fabian to take help and get counseling for years. and he's not been too responsive. But he's now been, he was taking courses on anger management and raising kids. And I drove him up to Edmonton because he had the one course he needed for child welfare was in Edmonton, so I drove him up. And coming back, he had his two certificates and said, he was so proud of them, I'm going to frame these. Now, Fabian wanted to frame anything from a psychologist. At one point, I said, Fabian, I won't even say what he's called. I will tell you, in the church, I can't say what Fabian called this psychologist. And I said, Fabian, you cannot get a good report from a psychologist when you call him that. This is not going to be good. And I asked him, my wife sort of said, what does Fabian really want to do? Because we were getting prepared, unfortunately died too soon, to help him. And what would you really want to be? And he said to me, and you got to remember, Fabian's talking to me. We're two macho guys, right? Fabian is never got that emotional with me. I didn't get emotional with him. And I said, Fabian, what would you, if all things being equal, what would you want to be? And he said, if I didn't have the kids and I had my choice, I'd be a missionary. And I thought, yeah, and I just looked at him and thought, he'd be a good missionary. Because Fabian's life story, I've dealt with a lot of people who have had hard lives. Most of the people I deal with have had hard lives. My clients don't come in a vacuum. And there was nobody could say, I've had a tougher life than you. And Fabian said, still, I have changed through Jesus. So I'm going to miss Fabian. And the one thing that I have to agree with you, what am I going to miss? When Fabian's got your back, he had your back. And he was, I don't have a lot of friends. I've always been a loner. Fabian was my friend, and I will miss him. He really loved you.
Whoa, that's powerful. Sonny, you want to come up? That's good. I love that idea. I think he was a missionary. It's good to hear that, too. Thank you.
I'm feeling the joy of the Lord today, knowing where he is. At the same time, as humans, we're sad and we're going to miss people. I haven't been in his life a lot in the last few years. I was, same time Lauren was, that child welfare time. And fighter, yes. Standing up for justice, yes. And we butted heads, too, because we were both stubborn and we both wouldn't quit. And we both weren't liked at the courthouse. But it was worth every minute. And I'm honored to be able to have stood by his side through a lot of his struggles. I met him when he was 17 at a meeting, and he was in and out of my life, but every time I saw him, I just kind of got this, motherly, tuck him under my wing, and I know, saw Gertie play that role with him a lot too, and a lot of people at Potter's, and it's a shock, and I'm going to miss him a lot. I wish I'd seen him more lately, but even at the courthouse last week, I was there with a friend doing some paperwork, and one of the security guards, Lauren probably knows who he is, he'd always, in the courtroom when they were fighting with him and putting him down and going through all that, he'd always go like this to Fabian, like, it's okay, bud. Like, he knew the truth, and he knew how things were going, so I miss you. I miss you, Fabian. Love you.
Amen. Yeah, come on up.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've known Fabian, also known as Chuck, very well, and I just wanted to put a few words out there. So, C for courageous, that he was. Hilarious. U for unusual. C for caring. And K for kind-hearted. I've known Chuck on both sides of the fence. and he's a phenomenal man. I grew up with his family, and I can't even fathom what his mom's going through. I just want to say, God bless his kids. And I love you.
Thank you for those words. And he was known as Chuck by everyone from Cape Breton and some of the people who live here, some of the family. And it's good to see some family here. And yeah, we think about his mom in Cape Breton right now, and we keep praying for her too, because she's lost three children now in the last 3 years. His sister Bobby Jo passed away in January with cancer. There's been a lot of tragedy. So actually, let's just pray for her a minute. Just remind me what her name is. Carolyn. Yeah. So God, we're going to remember Carolyn right now and all the pain and the struggle that she's been through. And I know, Lord, just hearing from some family, she's not doing well. We pray, God, in the power that you have, that right now you'll lift her up, that you will remind her that you are her God and that there's still hope. And I thank you, Lord, for the great influence that she had on Fabian, and he loved her so much. He loved his mom. So, Lord, I just pray for his mom right now and ask God that you will give comfort to her and that you'll strengthen her and that she will see that you have a purpose, Lord. And Lord, we're going to be so bold, again, just to pray one more time for the children. I just pray, God, for a safe place. I pray, God, that they will be well cared for. We pray, God, for your protection. You say that your angels are all around us, and so we would pray that your angels would surround them, that people who make these decisions will have unusual divine wisdom, and Lord, that these children will be raised in a home where they can know you and love you. And Lord, we just plead with you. You are God. You know God. You know what it's like. You have your own son. You know that fatherly relationship. So we're just going to stand in a gap for those kids today. And trust you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Brian?
Like Stan, met Fabian about 9 years ago, I guess, and yeah, I was actually down at the river in one of his baptisms. That photo that's up there right now, Fabian asked if I would take that for him. He wanted to give a picture to his daughters. And Fabian and I had a relationship for that whole 9 years. He would always call when he was struggling. And we had a common bond. We were long history of self-medicators. And he always asked me, you know, how did you do it and how did you keep that way? And I said, something that I know about you, because you tell me all the time, is getting to a place of surrender. And over this last 5 years, I really saw Fabian coming to that place. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about us being saved instantaneously at this particular moment. It talks about us coming to that experience. It talks about us being saved. You know, because we don't see perfection here means little, means diddly squat. I'm so grateful for that for my own life, that all God really sees is my heart towards him. And that's what I understand about Fabian. God always saw Fabian's heart. Eleanor knew him longer. Eleanor knew him while he still had the youngest of the twins. And he really touched her life, touched all of her lives. Conversation, we had a few recently, but a conversation about a year ago. We had Fabian over for supper, and we were outside working on my fence that had been burnt down by somebody lighting the garbage on fire. And he said, Brian, he said, this side of sobriety, how do you deal with religion? How do you deal with personalities that are in church, with personalities that are in court, with personalities that are within child welfare? He says, how do you? I said, you don't. You really can't. I said, but you can deal with the one who's in control of it all. I said, and at the end of the day, when you and I stand before God, he isn't going to ask us how well we fared in court. He isn't going to ask us how well we did in church. He's only going to ask one thing. Thank you for coming to me. I really wanted your friendship. And that's what Fabian reminds me of. Hard, difficult, you got to work at it. You got to struggle. And sometimes you have to surrender or it just doesn't work. And my relationship, like Fabian's, not the same with God, is the same way. Surrender, struggle, surrender.
Matthias.
I don't have too much to say. I've known Fabian for about 2 years since I came to this church, but I started to come over to his house like in the last 3 months. He called me one day. He had my number from chat because there was a problem with his computer, so I fixed that. And then he kept calling me because his boys would keep throwing coffee on the laptop, and it would kill the laptop. So the last 3 months I've been like maybe 10 or 15 times I've been at his house to help him out with stuff, and then he helped me out with my bicycle. He fixed my bike up. I bought a new bike, and he fixed him up. And yeah, I got to know him. I don't know anything about like his past or all the trouble, but I just saw a very chaotic house. But just the love that he had for those kids was just amazing. And I just there's another story that I found kind of remarkable. One day I was playing the piano that's outside on Ross Street, and there were these Mormons that were evangelizing. And there was this girl, she was like 14 or 15 or 16, I know, she was with the Mormons, and she listened to what I was playing, and she was like, wow, that's very beautiful. And I played it again, and then she played a little bit, which was for Elise, and then she told me her name was Cheyenne. So like months later, I'm with Fabian, and I see that picture of the two girls on his fridge, and he's talking, and he said, well, that's Cheyenne and the other Shelby or something. And I'm like, well, I think I met your daughter. And I was like, well, is she with the Mormons? And Fabian was like, yeah, she's being raised by the Mormons or something like that. So yeah, my prayer is kind of that his children that have been taken away, that they'll later in life they'll find out about who their father really was. Because I mean, it's not his fault that he had a hard life where he was homeless, and he was always taking care of his kids, and he really loved his kids. And so I don't really know him that well, but I know I'm losing a friend in this. He was gonna become really, because you would just felt safe with Fabian. You would just feel like you had somebody you could really rely on, an honest person. And so yeah, I'm gonna miss him.
Maybe just a couple more. Rick, Joyce, you're going to speak to? Why don't you go first? You're right here. Rick can come up here.
Well, first time I met Fabian, there was just something about him that I liked. And I thought, man, God makes sure handsome men, doesn't he? Fabian was a handsome man. He was. And the last time I saw Fabian was last Sunday. He was here. And he was outside, putting his little guys in the carrier, and they were smiling and they were so happy. And I said, Fabian, I love you. I said, I pray for you and your little guys all the time. I said, they are so happy. And he just came over and gave me the biggest hug and said, please continue to pray for me. Man, I couldn't believe how happy those little children were. He really did love those kids.
this.
You'll be great. Oh, you got my hand, girl.
Okay, I'm Fabian's aunt. This is so hard. Fabian came into our lives when I was 11 years old. And, you know, I don't know if I can do this.
Okay, no,
and
can.
I miss him so much. He was another. He was Max. Mm. Oh yeah, he was. His son is just like him, like father, like son. There was no doubt. When I first met Max, I went into the playhouse that day, and he had a screwdriver taking the vacuum cleaner apart, and it reminded me so much of Chuck, because Chuck took Mom's filter queen apart when he was like 5, and I still remember, and it was so funny. I'm sorry.
No, you don't need to be sorry. This is great. This is great.
And I thank you for all coming, and thank you, Bev. Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah, I'm just shaking.
That's okay. It's okay. First, Gord. Oh, sorry, Rick. I keep missing you here.
I met Fabian when we were working on the valley, and I didn't really even know who he was at first. I just thought he was another guy that Pastor San hired. And so we worked a couple days there, and he's like, "Do you want to go for lunch?" And I was like, "Sure, I'll buy you lunch." And he's like, "No, we'll go for lunch." Then we went over to Sue's. He always went to Sue's. He was staying at the Buffalo then. And so I had a good fair amount of money on me, and my all intentions were to pay for the food for him. And so we sat and talked, and even some guy from that was living in the Buffalo came in, and he was asking if they had any leftovers, or asking Sue, and Fabian looked up and he just said, "Put it on my tab," and he was paying for people's food at the Buffalo. And so I seen that, and I was gonna make sure that I'd pay for his food. So I went to go pay for his food, and he gave me a look that he was mad because I was gonna pay for his food. And I said, "I got this." And he's like, "No, I got this." So what they just ended up putting on his tab. But he always paid his tab there every month. And he took care of a lot of people in the Buffalo. And we worked hard for Pastor Stan. And there was days that we'd sit there and talk. And me and him related a lot together because of our lives and our pasts and our testimonies, and I just know that when we did pray together, it was powerful. Like I could feel the presence of God, and in Fabian's heart was like, so every word that you prayed for him was there. And I do miss him.
Hi, my name is Gordon. I've known Fabian, I don't know, since he started at the Buffalo. And I got to know many facets of Fabian's life. You know, I got to know him when he was at work. I got to know him after work. And the truth is that when God places somebody on your heart, you know, he places them on your heart. And he does so for a reason. You know, and half the time, I can never figure out that reason. But all I know is that I listen to God. He's like, "Okay, go visit Fabian. Go listen to Fabian. You know, or go spend time with him. Seek him out." You know, and the thing about it is that Fabian was a major part of the Buffalo. The reconstruction, the tearing down of the walls, the rebuilding of the walls, the people, you know. He had a heart for the people. you know, and his character, you know, I don't compare very much, but I really admired a lot of his characteristical traits. His loyalty, his brutal honesty. He'd tell you straight out how it was and how it is and how it's going to be. You know, and that's the way it was. It's like, you're not going to argue with him. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not going to argue with you. No. You just, yeah, you know. And the thing is that his booming laughter, you know, over the years, you know, he just had this, like, when you got him laughing, man, like, he just had this belly laugh that was just like, ho, 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 ho. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, I got you, eh? He's like, oh, you know. And the funny thing is that over the years, I have to admit, you know, I used to bug him, you know, like, I mean, and it's not as if I used to bug him, but it, you know, he says, Gord, you know, it's you. I don't know what is it about you, but in the one day outside the convent park, I was like, I pulled up, came out, stood outside, talked to them about life, and all of a sudden I was like. And I don't know for those that get that, but anyways, he got it, right? And, oh, man, he started jumping up and down. And then he's like, Gord, you know, I love you. You know, you remind me of my brother. You know, you remind me of my late brother. And so I think from that day on, I understood. You know, I understood why, you know, we were friends. You know, and I know I wrote some things down because I'm not one to shy away from respecting somebody's life. I respected Fabian, and in the beginning he tested me. You know, he wanted to see if I was, you know, loyal, if I'd cheese him off or rat him out, or you know. And to tell you the truth, you know, I worked many nights at the Buffalo, and so did he. And there's a few people that used to stay in those rooms and just flop on the floor kind of thing while they're building it. And he'd, Gord, come here. Let's go. Let's go to the church. And then all of a sudden, he'd come out of the bathroom with a beer and a cigarette. And I don't know where the heck he got it from, you know? He'd stash in the bathroom. And then he'd sit down in one of these pews and light up and I'd crack the beer. And all of a sudden, I'm like. He's like, What? I'm like, oh, jeez, nothing, man, nothing. I'm here for you. Oh, you are you? I'm like, and that's what I mean. Like, he tested to see if I was loyal, to see if I could, you know, sit and chill with him, right, for who he was. And that's my confession stand, by the way. Sure, no worries, that's fine. So anyways, you know, I consider him a... I consider him a saint and a soldier, a man of God. He loved his children, his dog. He was a proud father. He's a potent guy. You know, he has all these twins and stuff like that. Yeah, I like that one too, eh? Smart man, intelligent. And the thing about it is that he spent a lot of time in jail, and he shared a lot of his time, you know, what he did in jail and how he worked out and all that other stuff. And the things that he'd read. You know, and I studied the law, being able to educate other people that were in jail. I used to go visit him in jail, you know. And the thing about it was is that he'd be just shocked, you know. You're here. I'm like, yeah, man. They said my lawyer was here. I'm like, you're not my lawyer. I'm like, no, I'm not your lawyer. But we can pray. You know, and so anyhow... I'm just going to read three scriptures that I thought is sort of relevant to today. And it's because I love Fabian that I'm doing this. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which was good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law was spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, then it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is a sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find that this law is at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in my members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. But in the sinful nature, I'm a slave to the law of sin. So, you know, and the thing about it is that with Fabian, like, I mean, we fall down, we get up, we fall down, we get up, and we get purified by these falls each time. And each time we get up, God is refining us, you know, and he refined Fabian, you know, and I was there for him each time he fell and each time he got up. I'm sure Stan was too, a lot of us, you know, that have gotten up here this morning. And then I'm reminded of Job 2:4-11. So this is, you know, the trials that Fabian went through. You know, we all go through trials, right? We do. And so anyhow, I'm going to read this and then one more and then that's it. Okay? We're good to go. Skin for skin, Satan replied, a man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with pain, sores from his soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Which I think Fabian had. Curse God and die. He replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. When Job's three friends, these are really weird names, Ephias, Temanite, Bildad, and Shunite, and Zophar, and Naamathite heard of all the troubles that had come upon him. They set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go out and sympathize with him and comfort him. And a lot of us did that. Stan did, you know. I'm sorry. Lauren did, and everybody else did. So I'm just drawing a blank. And then the last one is I want to give you a picture, okay? And the last one is, you know what, Fabian? Whether he's sleeping or if he's in heaven, all I want you to know is that he died with pride. He died with his child in his arms. He died taking care of them. He died with honor. He died sober, as far as I know. You know, and the thing about it is that I hope this many people turn out at my funeral if I get to see it. Anyhow, the last one is, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who thirsts, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who comes will inherit all this. and I believe Fabian came into this. I will be his God, and he will be my son. And so with that, you know, today, I want you to remember everything that was wonderful of Fabian. All the wonderful laughter, all the jokes, all the sincerity and the integrity and in the love that he had for his children, for his church, his honesty. And, you know, he touched your heart. He touched my heart. And he touched the community's heart. He will be surely missed. With my heart, I tell you today that I loved him. You know, and one of the things that I had in my head was shock when I got the phone call, but the second thought that I had was not like this. But it was like that, and God spared Fabian from the life that we have to go through. So in that, I take solace. I take comfort. You know what? That he doesn't have to go through the rest of his life now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you for Fabian's life. I pray for him. Pray for his children, Lord. Be with them. Lord, thank you so much for his laughter. And I can still hear his booming laughter right now, saying, right on, Gord. So thank you so much for the memories that we have. Thank you for the touched hearts that we have, Lord. Thank you for the tears in the morning that we're going to be having. Lord, embrace us as we cry together. Amen.
You're going to get the last word this day. And then just want you to know, though, that there's lots of time after this to share. And we're going to have some coffee and some cake, I think, and some goodies. So there's more stories we can share with each other.
Hi, I'm Bev. I'm a very close friend to Chuck, as I know him as, not Fabian, and his brother and sister, Bobby Joe and Tyler, and their mother, Carly. I watched these children grow up as a friend. My children played with Carlin's three children. Not so much Chuck. Chuck was 18 when I first met him. And it saddens me. It really saddens me to see a family lose so much, but yet fight to keep it.
That's right.
It wasn't life without a struggle for him.
That's true.
And for their family. Even though I shared many good times and lots of closeness with Chuck, the last time I seen Chuck, I babysat his three kids when Lauren took him to Edmonton. And I got back, and Chuck got back, and we sat and we talked and everything. I said, I don't know how you do it, Chuck. It like, these babies keep you going.
Yes, they
do. And he said, I don't know either, Bev. Some days I don't know how I'm doing it myself. Yep. His strength was there. His heart was there. But what really did take him in the end was it, I don't even know how to word it.
Okay. You loved him.
I loved him with all my heart.
God bless.
Thanks.
One of the ways that Fabian will always be remembered here is all the work he did on this building. And maybe some of you forget that, but he used to live here, actually. He wasn't supposed to, but he did. He lived in one of the rooms, and for more than a year, he stored a whole bunch of stuff up in the attic, and he wasn't allowed to do that either. But most of the boarding that you see here, most of the improvements to this building were things that he were doing, and he'd work late at night sometimes just to be able to, he just had nothing else to do. He said, well, that's how I'll pay rent. I said, well, you're not supposed to live here, Fabian. He said, I know. I said, well, I said, you don't tell anyone, I won't tell anyone either, I said to him. So why don't I just end on this with this song? Partly because it's a song that could easily come out of Cape Breton. It's got one of those Gaelic kind of tunes. But also, and more importantly, the words just really speak to me. And when I think of this song, I think of my friend. So if you want to stand, and you can sing it with me if you know it. Come out of sadness, wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, for sinner come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Lay down your burden, lay down your all who are broken, lift up your face. Wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless. All those who stay and sit at the table, come taste his grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. Come as you are. Fall in his arms. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. So wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. Lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Thank you, God, that that's your message to us today, that we come as we are and we can lay it down. We can lay down the burden, and that you accept us, and that we are saved only one way, and that's by grace. Thank you that we're not saved on merit or whether we've been in jail or not. We're saved because of Jesus. Thank you that your grace is always sufficient. And I'm grateful, God, for the time here that we could spend together remembering Fabian. We look forward to enjoying him and even more importantly, enjoying you forever and ever. So go with us, Lord. Bless us and keep us. Cause your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lift up your countenance upon us, God. Give us your peace. Amen. God bless you. Stay for a coffee and something to eat, okay?